Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Have you ever been at work and thought to yourself, what am I doing here? I mean, really, why does my job even exist in the first place? Or maybe you found yourself having to wade through a sea of middle managers or administrators who have to sign off on your next project or idea and wondered, why do their jobs exist? In fact, why does my whole industry exist? Well, our next guest says you're probably encountering an increasingly common phenomenon, what he calls a BS job. Well, he uses the more complete word. Obviously, we can't say that on the air. I will let you figure out what BS means. And it's from David Graeber, who's professor of anthropology at the London School of Economics. Some of you know he was a founder of the Occupy movement back in 2011. His new book is called BS, full word, Jobs, A Theory. And I don't know. Professor Graeber, it seems to me like more and more books are coming out. I would have to count up how many it's been this year, whose titles I can't say on the air. Maybe that says something about the times we're living in.
Yeah, it probably does.
So what's a BS job by your definition?
Oh, okay. Well, a BS job is one which is so pointless or even pernicious that the person doing the job secretly believes that it shouldn't exist.
And you name industries that are in your sights in this category. So not surprising for a founder of the Occupy movement, financial services, corporate law, academic and health administration, human resources, and public relations. But these are industries that employ a huge chunk of the workforce. So
absolutely.
What ties them together in your view?
Well, what ties them together is the fact that the people doing them often, and not in every case, absolutely, but often secretly believe that either they shouldn't be doing this, that their particular job is useless, or often that the entire industry is useless or even harmful. That, you know, if this job were to disappear, either it would make no difference whatsoever, or the world might be a slightly better place. So I'm not sort of passing judgment on people. I don't feel it's my job to say, well, you know, your job is BS, your job is okay. I'm just listening to the people who actually have the jobs. And if a preponderance of people in an industry feel that industry shouldn't exist, like, say, the overwhelming majority of telemarketers, for example, well, I'm going to take them seriously. I think somebody should listen.
So it's not that you're saying that the whole field of advertising and marketing shouldn't exist. It's certain areas within it that are either so damaging or so superfluous or both that they deserve their own category?
Yeah, the people who work there feel that, like, you know, if this entire building were to disappear, it would make no difference. And I hear people tell me exactly that. You know, if I showed up work tomorrow and the whole building had sort of fallen into a fissure in the Earth's crust, I would just shrug my shoulders and walk on. I wouldn't care.
So listeners, who's quietly nodding your head out there as you listen to David Graeber thinking, why does the whole industry I work in exist anyway? Call us if you're identifying with this or if you have a question, but really call us if you're identifying with this. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or if you want to push back on David Graeber's thesis, that's okay too. So the book is called BS Jobs, A Theory. Have we hit the center of the theory yet?
Well, the theory were words that the publishers added. They thought it was cute, but there are plenty of theories there. I'm trying to figure out why these happen, because of course one of the fascinating things is that this is exactly what isn't supposed to happen in a market capitalist competitive system, right? You know, we think of the Soviet Union. Sure, they had full employment. They would just make up jobs. And, you know, we all know if you went to buy a loaf of bread or something like that in Moscow in, you know, the 1960s, you'd have to wait on three different lines. There'd be people giving you numbers. And it was all made really, really cumbersome just to employ as many people as possible. But internally, a lot of corporations, not the consumer-facing part necessarily, internally seem to operate the same way. Why is this happening? Why is this happening to the very kind of system that should be doing the opposite, that prides itself on being lean and mean and efficient. And polls have shown that incredible numbers. In fact, I was startled. I was assuming when I first wrote the piece that it was maybe 10%. And then, you know, there was such an incredible outpouring of when I wrote the thing. It just kind of went crazy on the internet. The original article, it was translated into 12 or 13 different languages in a matter of weeks. You had people circulating it everywhere without millions of hits. The site kept crashing. So I thought, wow, maybe it's higher. Maybe it's 15 or 20% of all jobs. So then they did a survey, first in the UK and then later in Holland. A big survey, YouGov, some Dutch firm, did a scientific survey, and they discovered that 37% of people in this country, where I am now, 37% said that their job makes no meaningful contribution to the world at all and might as well not exist, and 40% in Holland.
And Kyle in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So I had a question about the initial definition of a BS job.
Yeah.
And it sounded like Professor Graber, that you were saying it's a component of that the employee recognize it as such.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just wondering if people could be right or wrong about this, or whether that kind of insight is actually required for the job to be BS.
Well, that's the BS element, because you're pretending that the job is real, there's a good reason for you to be doing this, but secretly you know it isn't. That's possible you could be wrong, right? On the other hand, I think it's important to bear in mind that if you're going to be wrong, you're probably more likely to be wrong the other way. That is to say, it's possible that you could be doing something, you could think that it's completely pointless, but somehow from a larger perspective, boss knows that you're doing something that's useful to the company. That's possible. But, you know, imagine somebody working for 10 years in a job like that and nobody ever tells them why it's useful. That seems kind of unlikely. On the other hand, say you're working a job and you think it's useful, but it turns out that, you know, from a larger perspective, actually the whole thing's a scam, or, you know, it actually isn't useful. Probably they won't tell you that. So if you just ask people who have the job, if there's going to be a bias, it's going to be the other way.
I just realized from that last answer that... Yes. BS in your title is as much a verb as it is a noun, because
there you go.
Right? Because yeah. you're BSing people that your job matters or that your industry matters.
Yeah, you got it. And that's the thing. Like, people are forced to be fraudulent, but this is what makes people so unhappy in these jobs. You know, they have to pretend, they have to scam people. They don't want to. They'd rather be doing something real. So they're forced to be a fraud or a parasite, at least in their own minds, against their will.
Tara in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with David Graber. Hi, Tara.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
I'm calling because I've been working at a few temp jobs.
Oh,
and,
yeah, I love that one.
And almost every place I've gone, I felt completely unnecessary. They want me to answer phones and do paperwork. The phones are automated. They don't really need a person there. People can automatically get transferred to whoever they want to speak to in the office, but they have me there like a piece of arm jewelry or something. It's so weird. And I definitely feel like I'm in a bunch of BS jobs. I'm just like, why do they even need this? And it's different industries. I've worked a few in real estate, but it's all different industries. But I'm like, they don't need this. You can have an automated system or, you know, something. You don't need a person here, but they want a person there for some reason.
Yeah, isn't that fascinating? The fire sector, finance, insurance, and real estate, it's particularly rife, actually. They'll just get these people to sit at a desk because it just to keep it. Keep the seat warm, basically, you know. And a lot of people in temp jobs have told me, you know, they said, well, there probably won't be any work, but make it look like you're working. So it creates this terrible dilemma because you're not allowed to play computer games, or you're not allowed to just surf the web or do something interesting with yourself. You have to sit there and look like you're working, even though everybody kind of knows perfectly well there's no work to be done.
Thank you, Tara. Eric in Williamsburg, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eric.
Hi, I've called before. I spent a lifetime, I'm retired now,
in BS jobs. And I think most of them, I started out working as an organizer in the poverty program at one point. I've had several jobs as educational administrators. And the more status and money I had, the more useless the job was. These jobs have in common is that basically they're jobs of social control in a failing society. Or as I put it often, my job has been to describe in detail the emperor's the clothes that they're wearing for people and describing people who can't see that as being blind and having to educate them. I just to make that one comment.
Wow.
Well, that's an excellent comment. And I think that's very, very true. And he raised a point here. You raised a point here that actually I try to develop in the book that the more social value a job seems to have, judging social value in the sense of benefiting other people in some obvious way. You know, if you're collecting trash, you're benefiting people in an obvious way. If you're a nurse, if you're a doctor for that matter, you're helping people. And it's perfectly true. You don't have to wonder why it is that a mechanic is helping people. But, you know, if you're the East Coast vision manager for some IP firm or IT firm, then if you're a consultant, a human resource consultant, it's not clear what benefit you're providing. And often people have those jobs that they're not providing any benefit. However, they get paid really well. So the jobs that actually do something and it's perfectly clear what you're doing and it's obvious you're helping other people in some way, you tend to get low pay, low benefits. You go up the scale to these supervisory jobs, and I think you're dead on. A lot of these jobs seem to be social control jobs. They're managers managing people who don't need managing. They're people basically there to keep the system running in a certain way.
So what do we do about this glut of BS jobs and their corrosive impact on society? One thing you endorse in the book as a way of getting rid of unnecessary BS jobs is the proposal that we've been hearing from a number of people lately for a universal basic income, often proposed in the context of automation taking away so many, even non-BS jobs. Yeah. But you put that in an even more theoretical framework because you say that as a society, we consider having a job, any job, as possessing some innate moral value informed by the Protestant work ethic in this country. You want to argue against that?
I want to argue directly against that because I think that's the problem that has created a situation where upwards of 40% of the population goes into work every day feeling there's no actual reason for them to be doing what they do. I mean, it's crazy. If you think about it, what's the one thing that the left and the right both agree on? More jobs is always good, right? They're always called left-wing. You see a march, they're against the war. There'll always be signs saying, money for jobs, not for war, meanwhile, if you look at the right-wing onlooker, you're saying, get a job. Everybody wants you to have a job. Having a job is always good. And nobody ever says useful jobs that actually do something because it's just kind of assumed somehow. But in fact, a lot of these jobs are the equivalent of jobs just being made up. When they say, let's give money to the rich, they are job creators. They don't say creating useful jobs, making stuff that people actually want or need or distributing things. They just said jobs. Well, I think there's a deep morality that says you should be in a job. So back in the 30s, they were saying by now we'd all be working 15-hour weeks. And if you look at the jobs that actually existed in the 30s, we could be. They got rid of a lot of those. They got rid of at least half of those. Automation already happened. The robots already came to a large extent. Except instead of actually using that, that automation to liberate us, so we could live lives of relative leisure and think about and pursue things that we actually consider important in life, we're all sitting there filling out forms all day just to keep ourselves busy because of this deep moral idea that we should all have a job.
Anything else at the policy level before we run out of time in a minute?
Okay, we're going to run out of time. Well, I would say that there's two common objections to the idea of simply giving people an income, giving people enough money to survive, and then leaving it up to them how they want to contribute to the world. And this answers both of them in a way. One is that people are lazy, they're just going to sit around. Well, the thing about these BS jobs, the people in them are miserable. They have the opportunity to get something for nothing. They are getting something for nothing, and they feel terrible about it. People talk about depression, anxiety, all these terrible symptoms. Okay, so people are miserable if they get something for nothing. That's not what they want. And second of all, people say, well, you know, okay, people want to work and contribute to society, but if their market isn't, you know, sort of judging what they do, they're all going to end up becoming bad poets or stupid musicians or crazy crank scientists, right?
Right. 10 seconds.
Yeah, but look, 40% of the population's already doing stupid nonsense. I mean, how could it be worse than it already is? And at least they'll be happier.
David Graeber, who teaches anthropology at the London School of Economics and helped found the Occupy movement, is now the author of BS, he uses the full word, Jobs, a Theory. Thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Been a pleasure. Take care.